From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. Indonesia received 500,000 doses of the Sinopharm vaccine at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Cengkareng, Banten on Tuesday afternoon, bringing the total Sinopharm doses the country has secured so far to 8 million. The Sinopharm vaccines have been secured for the Gotong Royong or Mutual Health Vaccination Program, which has resulted from a collaboration between state-owned pharmaceutical enterprises and the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN. Deputy Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Pahala Mansuri, informed at an online press conference on Tuesday, in accordance with the direction of the President, Indonesia needed to accelerate the arrival of these vaccines so the citizens can get vaccinated as soon as possible. Mansuri asked business entities or legal entities wishing to vaccinate employees and their families or the surrounding community under the independent vaccination program to contact the SOEs Ministry or KADIN. West Papua Vice Governor Muhammad Lakotani welcomed the arrival of hundreds of new oxygen tanks and items of personal protective equipment donated by the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BNPB, in Rendani Airport, Manokwari, on Tuesday. The BNPB donations fulfilled most demands for oxygen and PPE, or personal protective equipment supplies, from local hospitals to treat COVID-19 patients at West Papuan hospitals. The new supplies will also be distributed to West Papua cities and districts proportional with their needs. Abdul Muhari, acting head of the Disaster Data Information and Communication Center of the BNPB, in a press statement on Tuesday stated, "The oxygen tanks and PPE supplies for West Papua are to assist the management of the COVID-19 pandemic in the province." The Ministry of Health has yet to hold discussions on the agenda pertaining to the use of COVID-19 vaccine cards as an administrative requirement for people to access public places. Ministry of Health COVID-19 vaccination spokesperson Siti Nadia Tarmizi remarked during a telephonic confirmation in Jakarta on Tuesday that the vaccine card as an access tool was only a policy by some market managers in Jakarta that have started to make it mandatory for people to have the card to enter public places. She emphasized that the policy only applied in Jakarta as part of the regional autonomy. When contacted on a separate occasion by Antara, head of health handling of the COVID-19 task force, Alexander Kaginting, made assurance that the vaccine card policy in Jakarta had not been valid nationally. However, when queried if the government had a similar plan in the future, Ginting called for further assessing the decision. Now we move to the international news. Afghan Defense Minister Bismillah Khan Mohammadi on Tuesday confirmed he was not hurt during the attack on his home and will continue his work to protect Afghanistan. Earlier in the day, an eyewitness and a source in the Kabul police told Sputnik that a car was blown up near the minister's house, after which several armed people entered the premises. The Patchwork News Agency later reported the minister was not injured in the attack. Mohammadi said in a video address, as quoted by Afghan Defense Ministry spokesman Fawad Aman, that he and his family are fine. Unfortunately, three bodyguards were injured. The death toll from the ethnic riots in the South African town of Phoenix in the southeastern province of KwaZulu-Natal has risen to 36, Police Minister Becky Chele said on Tuesday. With the onset of protests over the incarceration of ex-president Jacob Zuma, relations between the town's African population and representatives of the Indian community are reported to have sharply deteriorated. Indians organized self-defense units that allegedly blocked the entry of black Africans into the town center and, in some cases, used violence against them. The minister mentioned that of the dead, 30 were gunned down. Two were burned to death, one was stabbed, one was run over, and another two succumbed to stabbing injuries. The European Commission paid out the first €3 billion, or $3.5 billion, to Luxembourg, Belgium, and Portugal on Tuesday from the European Union-wide fund allocated to support member states during the coronavirus crisis. The Recovery and Resilience Facility was established to provide more than €700 billion to support reforms and projects in European Union member states post-pandemic. We end the news with the Biden administration that must immediately start developing infrastructure to accommodate the arrival of asylum-seeking migrants at the U.S. southern border instead of turning them away under a coronavirus-related public health policy. Hope Border Institute Deputy Director Marisa Garza told Sputnik on Tuesday. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Monday extended the Trump-era policy, known as Title 42, which authorizes immigration enforcement to immediately turn away undocumented migrants on the United States borders as part of an effort to control the spread of the novel coronavirus. According to Garza, the Hope Border Institute retains its posture against the use of Title 42, the Trump-era policy that effectively shuts off access to asylum at U.S. southern border. Well, listener, that was the news.
Closing to the complete withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, China began to exert influence in Afghanistan, among other things by receiving a visit from a Taliban delegation led by one of its founders, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, to meet with the high-ranking Chinese officials last week. The official's website of the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs posts photos of Foreign Minister Wang Yi with Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar and his delegation in Tianjin, before starting the talk. Meanwhile, the conflict between the Afghan government military and the Taliban was still ongoing. The Taliban continues to spread its wings, especially in northern Afghanistan. In other hand, the government forces, apart from defending themselves, also retaliated against attacks. The diplomatic narrative emerged from a meeting between the Taliban leaderships and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, who stated that his government was adhering to a policy of not interfering in Afghanistan's internal affairs. The Taliban said via Twitter that Afghanistan would not be a hotbed for terrorists. The United States has responded to the Taliban meetings with the Chinese Foreign Minister. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, on the sidelines of his visit to India Thursday, July 29, stated that China's involvement could be a good thing if Beijing could seek a peace resolution. Meanwhile, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani responded to the visit of Taliban to China. In essence, he doubted the Taliban statesmen or narratives regarding a political solution in Afghanistan. Whatever the implications, the Taliban's visit to China has happened. Friendly reception by Foreign Minister Wang Yi could at least imply that the Taliban were politically recognized by China. It seems that China seized the strategic positions of the Taliban after the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. China recognizes that the factor of the Uyghur Muslims minority in its country is a sensitive matter, especially for countries with Muslim majority population, including Afghanistan, especially the Taliban, who are known as a hardline Muslims. In addition, China does have a special interest in Afghanistan because parts of the territory of the two countries are bordering each other. That was commentary.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on August 4, 1961, about the birth of Barack Obama. Barack Hussein Obama II is an American politician who served as the 44th President of the United States from 2005 to 2017. He is the first African American to hold the office. Born in Honolulu, Hawaii, Obama is a graduate of Columbia University and Harvard Law School, where he was president of the Harvard Law Review. He was a community activist in Chicago before getting his law degree. He worked as a civil rights attorney in Chicago and taught constitutional law at the University of Chicago Law School from 1992 to 2004. Moving on to an event on August 4, 1992, about the Indonesian contingent that won its first gold medal in the Summer Olympics. The Indonesian contingent won a gold medal at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Susi Susanti won the women's singles badminton, and Alan Budikusuma won the men's singles badminton in Barcelona. This is the first gold medal for the Indonesian contingent during its participation in the Olympics since 1952 in Helsinki. We end Today in History with an event on August 4, 2007 about the launching of the Phoenix spacecraft. Phoenix is an unmanned spacecraft belonging to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, United States. Phoenix was launched to Mars under the Mars Scout program on August 4, 2007 and landed on Mars on May 25, 2008. The aim of this program is to study the history of water in the Martian Arctic, look for evidence of habitable zones, and assess the biological potential of ice, soil, and atmosphere. Phoenix studied Martian soil with a chemical laboratory, microscope, and multiple camera until August 2008. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Melihat matamu, tercipta mimpiku, melihat senyum. memberikan harapan. Aku ingin kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku? Seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas.
Demi Tuhan aku menunggu cinta.
Rasanya setahun saat kau tak sapa, hatiku terguncang. Hati goyang, jangan kau gantung-gantungkan harapan. Aku ingin kamu, namun adakah engkau ingin aku? Seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Aku menunggu cinta. Kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku? Seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Aku ingin kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku? Seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Demi Tuhan aku menunggu. Aku menunggu cinta.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kilohertz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Ministry encourage fishery export increase into the Middle East, since it is a market opportunity that needs to be optimized. That was stated by the head of National Fish Quarantine, Quality Control and Fishery Product Safety, or BKIPM, Rina, in a press release on Saturday. Rina said Indonesia needs to recognize the regulation on fish health guarantee systems and special export regulations in the Middle East. This international standard fish health guarantee system refers to the World Organization for Animal Health, FAO or Codex, and special regulations of the trade partner countries, including the Middle East. She further remarked that, referring to the International Trade Center 2020, in 2017 until 2019, the average fishery product demand from the Middle East countries grew by 4.3% year-on-year. The Middle Eastern fishery commodity import value in the same period was averagely 2.64% from the total world's fishery commodity import value. Rina said Indonesia has been importing canned tuna into some Middle Eastern countries. However, the export value is still far behind Thailand, that controls 71% of the Middle Eastern import market for tuna, mackerel tuna, and skipjack. Meanwhile, the potential markets for Indonesian business people can include the shark catfish and other freshwater fishes. Currently, the top shark catfish exporter into the Middle East is Vietnam. Besides commodities for consumption, Rina ensured there is still an export opportunity for ornamental fish, which is one of the most popular hobbies in the world. Indonesia certainly has the production and the highest diversity of ornamental fish in the world. Previously, the Director General of Maritime and Fishery Product Competitiveness Value Strengthening, Artati Widiarti, said the maritime and fishery sector made a positive performance in the first 5 months of 2021. The trade value surplus in this sector was $1.9 billion. It increased by 3.72% compared to the same period last year. Cumulatively, the fishery product export value in January until May was $2.1 billion, or increasing by 4.94% compared to the same period in 2020. These export values came from the main commodities, including shrimp, tuna, skipjack, mackerel tuna, squid, cuttlefish, and octopus. The main export destination is the US, followed by China and ASEAN countries. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Rengganis Crater as a tourism attraction was created as a result of the ancient Sunda volcanic eruption that occurred several million years ago. The name Rengganis has only recently been heard because the local residents are more familiar with the crater by the name Cibuni. This name change occurred due to a change in the management of the area in the Ciwidey area, which is currently managed by Ranca Bali Agro Tourism. Rengganis Crater has a very beautiful atmosphere with views of towering trees, so this area becomes beautiful. Here, you will not smell the pungent smell of sulfur. The crater pool can be used for bathing and as a health therapy because the crater here is traversed by the river water, which is quite clean, so it is safe to use for bathing. If you soak in the pool of Rengganis Crater, you will feel extraordinarily relaxed because of the hot spring. The serenity and calmness of the heart will be felt to sheep to the bones. The sulfur content is able to cure skin diseases. This water current is also used by Cimanggu Hot Springs. Another reason why you are recommended to visit this place is because of the spa facilities. Here, they are to smell geysers or hot springs that can gush upwards. The result of this burst creates a large amount of steam, so you can use this place for a natural sauna bath. You will feel a different experience to enjoy the hot sauna directly from nature. Rengganis Crater also has a location in the form of mud. It is said that this mud has special efficacy, namely being able to tighten and smooth the skin. Rengganis Crater is located in Patengan Village, Ranca Bali District, Bandung Regency, West Java Province. You can visit this place from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. Getting to this area is quite easy. You have to visit the Ciwidey area, more precisely in Situ Patenggang as far as 2 kilometers. After buying a ticket worth 5,000 rupiah, you have to walk 1 kilometer. The price is relatively cheap enough to enjoy the various kinds of beauty here. This ticket price does not include parking fees of 5,000 for motorbikes and 10,000 rupiah for cars. The facilities here are quite complete, starting from food stalls, toilets, and lodging. This tourist area also applies strict health protocols. That was Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you. kesempatan yang tak mungkin. Bahagia menjadi dilema yang harus ku pilih. Hati hanya satu untuk dimiliki, namun dua cinta menghampiri. Harus kata sempurna tuk dijalani. Cinta takkan pernah salah, hanya waktunya tak tepat. Cinta kan mengerti dan memilih yang terbaik untuk kita. Bahagia menjadi dilema yang harus ku pilih. Hati hanya satu untuk dimiliki, namun dua cinta menghampiri. Haruskah terbagi walau takkan
listener. For the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about transportasi, which means transportation. So stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Lewat Mana, which means which way, Kevin takes an online taxi to go to the office. The taxi driver asks Kevin which way Kevin wants to go. Let's listen to the conversation.
Mau lewat mana? Lewat tol atau jalan biasa?
Lewat tol saja agar tidak macet.
Baik.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Mau, mau, which means want. Lewat, lewat, which means pass through. Mana, mana, which means which. Tol, tol, which means toll road. Atau, atau, which means or. Jalan, jalan, which means road. Biasa, biasa, which means usual. Agar, agar, which means in order to. Tidak, tidak, which means no. Macet, macet, which means traffic jam. Mau lewat mana? Lewat tol atau jalan biasa? Mau lewat mana? Lewat tol atau jalan biasa? Which means, which way do you want to go? Toll road or normal road? Tolong ambil rute tercepat. Tolong ambil rute tercepat, which means, please take the fastest route. In the dialogue, you hear mau lewat mana, which means which way do you want to go? In the question, there is the word mana, mana, which means which. It is used to ask someone or something from a group or a choice. In the dialogue context between a taxi driver and Kevin, there are 2 routes towards Jalan Sudirman Street, namely toll road or normal road. Therefore, the taxi driver asks mau lewat mana, which means which way do you want to go? Let's listen to the other examples of expressions to ask one of ways that someone wants to take. Lewat mana pak, which means which way sir? Jalan biasa saja, which means just take the normal road. Mau jalan mana, which means which road do you want to take? Lewat tol agar tidak macet, which means take the toll road to avoid traffic jam. In Indonesian language, there is a special term to refer small road, which is jalan tikus, which means shortcut. It is called jalan tikus because it is small and only for one car or even one motorcycle. Jalan tikus often becomes an alternative route when the main road is congested. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Mau lewat mana? Lewat tol atau jalan biasa?
Lewat tol saja agar tidak macet.
Baik.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Tiap kaki melangkah di hadapmu dinda, adakah sedikit getar hati terasa saat senyum terlukis di wajahmu cinta? Adakah wajahku hadir dalam semesta meski ku bukan siapa-siapa? Namun ingin hati sekarang
sekedar hadir menyapa cinta, memastikan kau terjaga dalam lembayung jingga. Berharap nyawaku ada selintas di dalam senjamu. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Adinda, di mata ini kau terindah. Meskipun belum tentu kau tahu aku ada, mungkin kau hanya memandang aku sebelah. Tapi aku tak peduli itu, ku tahu ku jauh dari nomor satu. Diriku bukan siapa-siapa, namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa cinta. Biarkanlah suka yang kini ku rasa tetap jadi sebuah angan yang masih rahasia, namun jangan sia-sia selintas di dalam senjamu. Biarlah ku pendam rasa sendiri.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I would like to present a song from Nias, North Sumatra, entitled Tane Niha. The song Tane Niha, which means Nias Island, was composed by Aroo Zebua. The lyrics of the song tell about the people's love for Nias Island. Although the people are wandering far away, they still remember Nias Island. The lyrics also mention that in Nias Island, there are fertile land, white green rice fields, and rows of coconut trees on the beach. The song Tane Niha is often sung in many events, such as at a family gathering of Nias descendants who are wandering. Well, listener, here is the song Tane Niha, sung by Man Harefa, Dermawan Zebua, and Lisbeth Zebua. Happy listening!
Tane situ
Voice of Indonesia.
La tagemana
Voice of Indonesia.
Busi dede kunahi dino tawa eno tazazi tenga tenga leba dede kunahi nalu alu awu usali ta oi mawa ai fazi de Bawangi Ai tembanana basi bongi Simano tete buwa ogemi Oe lida amada naki Mino La tehe zame eri la ua sauha gele gunaki Zino ufalua faumas Ya e Naduhu obe salagu Ya e dedegu Kofu hadia ululu Naduhu adrono
sobre el grave Abai i te bai u o he fenu U be e fonda ra de de Ne te ga na hia te ga te
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @voinindonesia, email voi@voinews.id.